Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with Bruno Boulanger about Bayesian statistics and how they can bridge the gap in ICH-Q2 and ICH-Q14 guidelines on the development and validation of activities during the life cycle of an analytical procedure. Both these guidelines, Bruno notes, fail to clearly define the aim of an analytical procedure. Bruno is Global Head of Statistics and Data Science at PharmaLex, where he draws on his many years of experience in several areas of pharmaceutical research and industry, including discovery, toxicology, CMC, and early clinical phases, to provide guidance on the application of Bayesian methodology to address pharmaceutical problems. Welcome, Bruno, and thank you for taking the time to share your knowledge about Bayesian statistics as applied to these guidelines.
Hello, Kim. Thank you very much for the very nice introduction.
Let's begin by looking at the ICH-Q2 and ICH-Q14 guidelines on the analytical procedure, which were recently released for commentary, and how they do or perhaps don't fulfill their objectives.
Yes. With the release of the new ICH-Q2 guidance, validation of analytical procedures, and the new ICH-Q14 analytical procedure development, the ICH was looking on purpose to be more closely aligned with the quality by design strategy that is applied to the development of procedure and process, and to apply this idea to analytical procedure. But the problem is, both leave a significant question unanswered. How do you define a good fit for purpose measurement or reportable value of an analytical procedure? It is easy for a process because you can qualify a batch of product, but how do you qualify the quality of a measurement? Now, on the process development, qualification and control side, the ICH-Q8 start with the target product profile or the properties that the product and its related process should achieve. But both ICH-Q2 and Q14 miss the central point that applies to the analytical procedure, defining what is a good fit for purpose measurement or reportable value. Not clearly defining the actual aim of an analytical procedure leads to misunderstanding and confusion about various concepts such as accuracy, linearity, and range.
How, though, does Bayesian statistics and interpretation address these misunderstandings and bridge those gaps?
Let's take, for example, a fundamental concept in a measurement system, which is the concept of linearity. This is an important property of a measurement system. In fact, according to ICH-Q2, the linearity of an analytical procedure is its ability within a given range to obtain test results which are directly proportional to the concentration or amount of analyte in the sample. If you increase the quantity or the potency, the result will be proportional to this increase. But what does it tell you about the quality of a result you will get in a future test? Will you trust one result you will get in the future? The trust you have is in a result during routine use of a validated method. It's the concept of uncertainty of a measurement. And this is where the Bayesian statistical theory bridges the gaps between ICH-Q2 and ICH-Q14. Bayesian statistics make it possible to take result obtained during the validation of an analytical procedure and to predict uncertainty around any future result you may have. In other words, the way to bridge Q2 and Q14 is to go through the concept of uncertainty, and more precisely the concept of target measurement uncertainty, which is in a way the maximum uncertainty you may allow and should be, and this should be a full part of the pharmaceutical manufacturing. Through the concept of uncertainty, it's possible to be, say, 95% sure that the true value of the batch or sample is within a pre specify quality level. But those quality levels are defined by the target measurement uncertainty, but are not defined and not existing in ICHQ2 or Q14.
Thank you for that. Can you explain how that works in practice, perhaps with an example?
Let's say an identical procedure is used to release batch of material of a drug product, and the specification limit are that it must fall within plus or minus 2 milligrams. That's specification for the product. In this case, the uncertainty of a result or reportable value should be much smaller than those 2 plus or minus 2 milligrams in order for the risk to remain acceptable when making a decision. In keeping with the well-known principle of Six Sigma, for example, one rule of thumb is that the target measurement uncertainty should not be greater than 1/6 of the specification of the product to reduce the risk of making wrong decision. Therefore, the objective of an ethical procedure is to be able to provide any future reportable value close enough to the real content of value of any future quantity unknown within a predefined range and with a high degree of probability. The problem is that this predefined range is not included in the new regulation, and there is even no recommendation on the way to define this predefined range.
That's very clear. Thank you for that, Bruno. Could you now explain how this applies when moving from validation to routine?
Yeah, very good question. The ICHQ2 is about the validation of analytical procedures. So it's important to work with known samples during the validation to try to figure out how to determine the accuracy of a result. Noting that accuracy is here a combination of bias and precision. By applying a Bayesian theory, the reviewer can use a predictive distribution, which is a part of the Bayesian statistics, to have an idea about the distribution of possible future values given the result that has been observed in the validation. And this to evaluate what will be the future uncertainty for a future unknown sample. As long as the uncertainty of the future measurement is small, given the result obtained in validation, assuming there is a definition of small in the target product profile of the analytical target performance, the analytical procedure can be accepted. But this definition of quality to achieve related to the quality of the product is missing in ICHQ2. The issue is different when moving to routine, where we use a validated analytical procedure requiring the use of an analytical procedure requires trust in the measurement, unless there is some evidence showing that problem occurred during the analytical procedure when generating that reportable value. Therefore, the only way to trust a result of an unknown sample obtained during the routine phase is by referring to the performance that has been observed during the validation and trying to predict what will happen on a known sample.
Are there perhaps examples from the life sciences industry that you can share to demonstrate measurement during the validation versus routine phases?
Yes, there is a very well-known example in the diagnostic world, and in particular with regard to diagnostic tests, which deal with the sensitivity and specificity that are important indicators of test accuracy. On one hand, the sensitivity is the proportion of true positive versus false negative in tests of patients with a given condition. While on the other hand, specificity is the percentage of true negative versus false positive of all subjects who do not have the condition. The question of diagnostic test is how to determine the probability of an outcome. For example, does the patient have cancer or not? Given the result is positive based on a known sample, During the validation phase, the result is based on the known sample based on the specificity and sensitivity. But in routine, it's inverted because you don't know if you have a positive or negative sample. And you need to ask, what is the probability of the sample being truly positive given the result you have? This inversion is built on the Bayesian theory. During validation, therefore, sensitivity and specificity of the device is tested to demonstrate the performance of the device, while during routine, the manufacturer of the accuracy test need to prove what is called the predictive positive value or the negative predictive value. So prediction given the result observed within the validation. The yes-no measurement scenario, which is standard in diagnostic, gives the reviewer all the reportable value given the sample is positive. In routine, the reviewer needs to determine where, with a high probability, the true unknown content of the sample will be, given the there is one measurement. A decision needs to be made for each reportable value. Through the Bayesian theory of uncertainty in a measurement, reviewers can determine the distribution of unknown true value with about 95% reliability.
That's a pretty decisive example. Thank you, Bruno. Could we perhaps also look at its application in pharmaceutical manufacturing?
As one important example of where the analytical procedure is used in manufacturing is for the release of a batch of drug product based on its potency or concentration to assess the stability of batch or evaluate the dissolution rate of tablet and so on. During the development, we need to measure a number of properties of the product. The purpose is to support low-risk decision about a batch, about the stability or about the dissolution profile. Therefore, the specification on the analytical procedure that will be applied to any reportable value will be directly derived from the specification of the product or the test as defined in the target product profile. First, it is important to define the target measurement uncertainty or greatest uncertainty allow over an intended range of true value to be covered in the future. To assess that the target measurement uncertainty will be met, you need to characterize the uncertainty during the validation based on different level of known concentration. However, when you have an unknown sample routine during the routine, you don't know the actual uncertainty of that unknown level. You may have a sample at concentration of 600, but if you have never carried out validation at this 600 level, so you don't know what the concentration and what the uncertainty will be at that level. So for unknown sample, you can't specify what will be the uncertainty for this sample, because it's not the same over the range of concentration. The uncertainty at various level will vary. What you do know, however, is that between the specified concentration measured during the validation, let's say, for example, between 40 and 800 milligrams, there is a high probability that the sample is within the target measurement uncertainty. You don't know the uncertainty of the level you have, but you know that the uncertainty is not to be greater than your target measurement uncertainty, which is the objective. So it is only through the target measurement uncertainty, in other words, the objective, that allows you to know the risk made during a decision in the routine. Using Bayesian statistics, you can say, given result obtained during the validation using non-sample, it is possible to predict over a range the probability that any future unknown sample will be within the target measurement uncertainty.
Can we tie all of this back to the ICHQ2 and specifically what is missing from the current guidelines?
What the ICHQ2 says in the context of the above example is prove it will work at a different concentration level. But in the future, you have a different concentration you will have. How will you know it works within the range that has been proven? Using Bayesian theory and given the result you have from the validation on your known sample, you can say with a probability of more than, say, 95%, that it will be within the target measurement uncertainty. It is the target measurement uncertainty that should be the objective of ICHQ14. And by giving this definition or the quality of your measurement in the future, you connect the objective of the ICHQ2 validation and the one from ICHQ14, which ultimately should be to support decision-making about capability of an ethical procedure to provide reliable result. Unfortunately, ICHQ14 use the word total analytical error instead of uncertainty, because error during validation with known sample are still confused with the future uncertainty of a measurement about an unknown sample. The Bayesian statistics make the link, describing error on a known sample and contributing what uncertainty on a known sample. Bayesian theory helps to solve many problems in the pharmaceutical industry, ensuring future reportable values can be trusted and supporting critical decision making. It provides a bridge between the overarching objective of the guidelines such as ICHQ2 and Q14 and their application.
Thank you for joining me today, Bruno, and for sharing your knowledge about the role Bayesian statistics plays in ensuring analytical procedures are indeed fit for purpose. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.